January 10th, Job 24 through 28. The scriptures quoted are from the Net Bible, netbible.com, copyright 1996, 2019, used with permission from Biblical Studies Press, LLC. All rights reserved. Job chapter 24. Why are times not appointed by the Almighty? Why do those who know him not see his days? Men move boundary stones, they seize the flock and pasture them. They drive away the orphan's donkey, they take the widow's ox as a pledge. They turn the needy from the pathway, and the poor of the land hide themselves together. Like wild donkeys in the desert, they go out to their labor, seeking diligently for food. The wasteland provides food for them and for their children. They reap fodder in the field, and glean in the vineyard of the wicked. They spend the night naked because they lack clothing, they have no covering against the cold. They are soaked by mountain rains and huddle in the rocks because they lack shelter. The fatherless child is snatched from the breast, the infant of the poor is taken as a pledge. They go about naked, without clothing, and go hungry while they carry the sheaves. They press out the olive oil between the rows of olive trees, they tread the wine presses while they are thirsty. From the city the dying groan, and the wounded cry out for help. But God charges no one with wrongdoing. There are those who rebel against the light, they do not know its ways, and they do not stay on its paths. Before daybreak, the murderer rises up, he kills the poor and the needy, in the night he is like a thief. And the eye of the adulterer watches for the twilight, thinking, "No eye can see me," and covers his face with a mask. In the dark, the robber breaks into houses, but by day they shut themselves in, they do not know the light. For all of them, the morning is to them like deep darkness. They are friends with the terrors of darkness. You say, "He is foam on the face of the waters. Their portion of the land is cursed so that no one goes to their vineyard. The drought as well as the heat carry away the melted snow, so the grave takes away those who have sinned. The womb forgets him, the worm feasts on him, no longer will he be remembered. Like a tree, wickedness will be broken down. He preys on the barren and childless woman and does not treat the widow well. But God drags off the mighty by his power. When God rises up against him, he has no faith in his life. God may let them rest in a feeling of security, but he is constantly watching all their ways. They are exalted for a little while, and then they are gone. They are brought low like all others, and gathered in, and like a head of grain they are cut off. If this is not so, who can prove me a liar and reduce my words to nothing?" Job chapter 25. Then Bildad the Shuhite answered, "Dominion and awesome might belong to God. He establishes peace in his heights. Can his armies be numbered? On whom does his light not rise? How then can a human being be righteous before God? How can one born of a woman be pure? If even the moon is not bright, and the stars are not pure as far as he is concerned, how much less a mortal man, who is but a maggot, a son of man, who is only a worm?" Job chapter 26. Then Job replied, "How you have helped the powerless, how you have saved the person who has no strength, how you have advised the one without wisdom and abundantly revealed your insight. To whom did you utter these words, and whose spirit has come forth from your mouth? The dead tremble, those beneath the waters and all that live in them. The underworld is naked before God, the place of destruction lies uncovered. He spreads out the northern skies over empty space. He suspends the earth on nothing. He locks the waters in his clouds, and the clouds do not burst with the weight of them. He conceals the face of the full moon, shrouding it with his clouds. He marks out the horizon on the surface of the waters as a boundary between light and darkness. The pillars of the heavens tremble and are amazed at his rebuke. By his power he stills the sea. By his wisdom he cut Rahab the great sea monster to pieces. By his breath the skies became fair. His hand pierced the fleeing serpent. Indeed, these are but the outer fringes of his ways. How faint is the whisper we hear of him. But who can understand the thunder of his power?" Job 27, and Job took up his discourse again. "As surely as God lives, who has denied me justice, the Almighty, who has made my life bitter. For while my spirit is still in me, and the breath from God is in my nostrils, my lips will not speak wickedness, and my tongue will whisper no deceit. I will never declare that you three are in the right. Until I die, I will not set aside my integrity. I will maintain my righteousness and never let it go. My conscience will not reproach me for as long as I live. May my enemy be like the wicked, my adversary like the unrighteous. For what hope does the godless have when he is cut off, when God takes away his life? Does God listen to his cry when distress overtakes him? Will he find delight in the Almighty? Will he call out to God at all times? I will teach you about the power of God. What is on the Almighty's mind, I will not conceal. If you yourselves have all seen this, why in the world do you continue this meaningless talk? This is the portion of the wicked man allotted by God, the inheritance that evildoers receive from the Almighty. If his children increase, it is for the sword. His offspring never have enough to eat. Those who survive him are buried by the plague, and their widows do not mourn for them. If he piles up silver like dust and stores up clothing like mounds of clay, what he stores up a righteous man will wear, and an innocent man will inherit his silver. The house he builds is as fragile as a moth's cocoon, like a hut that a watchman has made. He goes to bed wealthy, but will do so no more. When he opens his eyes, it is all gone. Terrors overwhelm him like a flood. At night, a whirlwind carries him off. The east wind carries him away, and he is gone. It sweeps him out of his place. It hurls itself against him without pity as he flees headlong from its power. It claps its hands at him in derision and hisses him away from his place. Job chapter 28. Surely there is a mine for silver and a place where gold is refined. Iron is taken from the ground, and rock is poured out as copper. Man puts an end to the darkness. He searches the farthest recesses for the ore in the deepest darkness. Far from where people live, he sinks a shaft in places travelers have long forgotten. Far from other people, he dangles and sways. The earth, from which food comes, is overturned below as though by fire. A place whose stones are sapphires and which contains dust of gold. A hidden path no bird of prey knows. No falcon's eye has spotted it. Proud beasts have not set foot on it, and no lion has passed along it. On the flinty rock man has set to work with his hand. He has overturned mountains at their bases. He has cut out channels through the rocks. His eyes have spotted every precious thing. He has searched the sources of the rivers, and what was hidden he has brought into the light. But wisdom, where can it be found? Where is the place of understanding? Mankind does not know its place. It cannot be found in the land of the living. The deep says, "It is not with me." And the sea says, "It is not with me." Fine gold cannot be given in exchange for it, nor can its price be weighed out in silver. It cannot be measured out for purchase with the gold of Ophir, with precious onyx or sapphires. Neither gold nor crystal can be compared with it, nor can a vase of gold match its worth. Of coral and jasper no mention will be made. The price of wisdom is more than pearls. The topaz of Cush cannot be compared with it. It cannot be purchased with pure gold. But wisdom, where does it come from? Where is the place of understanding? For it has been hidden from the eyes of every living creature, and from the birds of the sky it has been concealed. Destruction and death say, "With our ears we have heard a rumor about where it can be found." God understands the way to it, and he alone knows its place. For he looks to the ends of the earth and observes everything under the heavens. When he made the force of the wind and measured the waters with a gauge, when he imposed a limit for the rain and a path for the thunderstorm, then he looked at wisdom and assessed its value. He established it and examined it closely. And he said to mankind, "The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to turn away from evil is understanding."